This is a little bit of a heavier one. Not that the first two Torahs weren't heavy, but here it goes even a little heavier. The Rebbe goes a little heavier. And it hurts, this one. You know? Doesn't mean it's not good. It's still, it's a painful one to read, and it's a painful one to review, but Hashem should help that we bind ourselves to the souls of the tzaddikim, and specifically to the tzaddik who's giving this over, and hopefully with Siyat Deshmai, and with Hashem's assistance and their assistance, we'll be able to somehow connect ourselves to this in some way, and hopefully it'll be, we'll be able to realize how relevant it is for us. Okay, so it's the third entry here in Tzava's years. If we feel like our heart is broken inside of us, we feel heartbroken. Lev Nishbar is very different than Atzvas. Lev Nishbar, Rabbi Nachman says, is a great level to achieve. When a person's heart is broken, that means that their heart is open. Atzvas, lahavdil, Atzvas is sadness. Sadness is a despair, to bitterness. A brokenness, a broken heart, like the Kutzker said, there's nothing as whole as a broken heart. Rav Shlomo teaches, if you really love someone, you really love someone, then you know the secret of breaking their heart, and then you're able to kind of make it whole together. But if we feel that our heart is broken, that there's something that we experienced, something that we've gone through, that kind of opened us up. V'dom elecha shekvar nisrakchu libcha v'ruchacha. And we sense that we've become softened. It's like generally, like the way Yechezkel describes the general state of a person in exile, the general condition is that our heart is lev ha'evin, that we're closed, we're on guard, we're wearing a mask, we're covered up, we're kind of hiding behind something, or we're closed. Our hearts are hearts of flesh, but those hearts of flesh are often closed, hardened over by our experiences. But if we feel that nisrakchu libcha v'ruchacha, that there's a softening, things are open, and that something kind of shifts inside, something that, you know, moves and opens up, there's something that happens in our life that gives us a sense that, I'm feeling something different, I'm feeling open. Od al tiftach b'cha. Don't just count on it. Don't be satisfied with that and say, Mashu zaz, something moved, I feel something, so that's enough. Rak timaher ba'od moed lihikanes elibcha l'shaded es admascha akasha. Grab the moment and quickly take advantage of it. Chaparain. This is like a constant theme that comes up here, and this is an urgency. Chaparain. Likanes elibcha. To go in. If it opens up, jump right in it. Jump right in. Get in there. Like, go spelunking into the inner caverns of our world, inside of our hearts. L'shadedes admascha akashem. And to kind of plow up, to break the hardened earth of our hearts that covers up our hearts. Haskin es apsoim. Trying to get in there and address the wounds. Hashveyata akmumiyot. To kind of straighten out that which is crooked inside. And we can't just suffice to feel brokenhearted, to feel a sense of yearning and wanting to improve, but to take advantage of it, to get in there and scrape away at the caverns, at the edges, at the walls of our hearts. Vashlech misham es ha'tolaim im tzeiseyem asher sham kininu. And to scrape away and kind of clean out the rot, the filth, the tolaim, the maggots, I don't know, it's very intense descriptions over here, that have nested and taken root in the corners and the recesses of our hearts. Do it quickly, meaning get right in there. If it's open, jump in and take advantage. Ava maher asei kein, but do it quickly. Don't wait. Ki afim dom elcha she'ata margish achna shel tshuva bekir b'cha. Because even if a person feels that there's some awakening of tshuva inside of me, I feel like, in response to something that I'm experiencing in my life. Meaning, let's say like this: a person has difficulty in their job, they're passed over for a raise, or they get a real slap, a potch. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe they're involved with somebody, and that person, you know, they're dating, and the person breaks up with you, and you have this tremendous awakening to tshuva, and say, like, that's it. It's a sign from Hashem. I have to, you know, be with somebody who's going to be stronger in Yiddishkeit, and this is an awakening for me to get myself in order and to be mechazik myself in whatever area, in davening. I'm going to be mechazik myself now in kovit and the Torah, or in response to something that we feel broken over, that we feel hurt by, that we feel moved by, that there's a softening of our heart in some way. We have this, you know, feeling to tshuva. Our response, like almost a knee jerk, is the reaction is, I'm going to be mechazik myself in something. I'm going to do better. I'm going to do more. This is a really biting, pretty intense kind of a, you know, sentence over here. That thing, like, don't be so sure that it's a feeling, that feeling of wanting to improve, or that feeling of that reaction to that experience has anything to do with tshuva. It might be something positive. Not necessarily bad, this brokenheartedness, or this feeling of like, oh, a response to that hurt or to that patch, but it's not necessarily tshuva. Like, don't call it necessarily something that's yearning for Hashem. It could be shekol zeh, that this whole feeling, rak min eiza tava asher nechzecha alachahi. It could be something that a response to something that I'm lacking, that I'm missing. Person, you know, fails a certain class. There's a class, and they have to withdraw from that class in school because they just studied and tried, and it just didn't work out. And from that withdrawing the class, or failing from the class, or having to like shift something academically in school, there's like this total reevaluating of my priorities. Like, anyways, I'm putting so much effort and so much thought in this, and maybe I should be having more emunah, or more tefillah, or more Torah. Or an example could be, if someone, God forbid, someone's sick in the family, or if someone themselves goes through something in their health or in their life, and they're shaken up from it, and like, that's it. That you know, from now on, I'm gonna use my time better. From now on, you know, a person's laying in a hospital. Anybody who's ever been in the hospital, even for something minor, getting anesthesia, and like those moments before getting anesthesia, it's like every promise in the world to Hashem that I'm gonna change, I'm gonna do this, you know. Anytime there's something that shakes us, anytime that's something that we go through that like opens up our heart a little bit, we feel, or what we, I mean, what the Rebbe here is implying is that we think that we feel some hirhurei tshuva, something that, you know, drives us toward wanting to be better and like making kabbalos. And you hear tragic news, God forbid, somebody in the community is sick and needs tefillos. Somebody, God forbid, their child is not well, and we're like, that's it. I'm going to be learning Mishnayos every day. I'm going to be saying Tehillim every morning, adding Tehillim. I'm going to be taking my. I'm not. No more talking and davening now. In other words, for this chol, I'm not talking and davening anymore. Or I don't know, some other response that you know, there's a Tzokei Tan this summer. There was a war this summer. Everybody was all hyped up in a holy way, in a positive way, in a good way. I myself included. Everybody was, that's it. No more judging people. No more Lashon Hara about other Jews. No more, you know, people, close family, friends, and close chaverim. I mean, some people, you know, here, their kids are in, you know, Donnie's kids are in the tanks. Some of the, like, you know, that's it. Nothing is going to be the same after this. There's an awakening to tshuva. The Rebbe is saying something here very, very sharp and very heavy. Could be that this wasn't hirhur tshuva, that this wasn't something that had anything to do with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but had to do with what I want, what the result that I wanted was. Im kavod sha'ata mis'aveh lav, maybe it had to do that I wanted kavod. Maybe, you know, a person loses their job, or a person gets passed over for a promotion, or a person doesn't make the basketball team, or, you know, fails the class, and then has some type of, you know, direction toward Yiddishkeit or Avoda. What's driving us toward that Yiddishkeit or to that Avoda isn't necessarily wanting Hashem or wanting to draw close to Hashem per se, or in its most pure form. What it has to do with this is with this desire that went unfulfilled. Maybe it's, I just want this person to be healed, or I want the kids to come home safe. I want the boys to come home. I want our soldiers to come back to their families safe and sound. I want. That's a want. Yeah. Taiva doesn't necessarily mean something which is bad. It doesn't only have to do with eating bamba at 4 o'clock in the morning, or looking at something on the internet that's inappropriate, or yearning after something that's not mine, or that I shouldn't be yearning after, or some honor that I don't deserve. Taiva is something that I want, like this, we're saying, Nis'av l'kodesh baruch hu dira b'tachtonim, that Hashem is mitaveh, Hashem has taiva for us to know that He's dwelling in this world. It's not a bad thing, that's a good thing. Right? Taiva is a good thing. So, taiva for holiness. And we were with a friend and I were recently in the north. We were with our spending time with our Rebbe, with Kluger, and he said a few times, he said, I'm asking Hashem, I want to have taiva. I want taiva only for you. I want taiva for Limud HaTorah. Temli ta'avot with Tzonot HaKedusha. I want to have taiva for holiness. I want to have taiva for Kvod Shemayim. Of taiva for what's mutter to me, what's mine. So it could be that when we're making all these, you know, the hachlatas and having all these feelings of like wanting to grow closer to Hashem, that the motivation is not necessarily HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's really me. I'm at the center of it. And this is really dark.
Right.
This is really dark. But that's what we're talking about here. We're in the Rebbe's inner world now. We're in the Rebbe's deepest machshavas. We're in the Piasetzner's journal, personal journal. This is not, but every one of us are able to kind of relate to this in our own way, on our own level. Taiva cheret. Afim eina tazocher chasr lecha eila. It could be that like once it's filled, we don't even remember what it was. You know, when the war is over and our loved one gets a clean bill of health, or I'm out of the hospital, or in the end, I get a better job, or a different job, or I take a different class, and I pass the test, or whatever it may be, and moved on. And shum davar lo zaz. I turn around, and what happened to all those big promises, and all those big desires, and all those big wishes? What happened to that broken heart? What happened to that life-changing moment that it's never going to be the same after that? Or just turn around a day later, a week later, a month later, and boom, it's like as if it never happened. Who remembers that there was a war this summer, Bichlal? Who remembers Bichlal that, you know, I mean, in my own personal life, so many benchmarks, so many moments. You know? My mother was sick. I look back at what I wrote and what I was thinking, what I was talking about in those days, what I was never going to do, how everything was going to be different, you know? Embarrassed to say, or maybe I'm not embarrassed to say, because it's probably all the same by all of us in some way. Is that like new, you know? Avar zmana, you know, botakor. That's it. It came and it went. So, does that mean that I wasn't real? Does it mean that I wasn't being serious? That I wasn't honest at those moments? Does it mean that it wasn't the real me that was expressing itself? So I don't think what the Rebbe is saying here. I mean, again, I always feel like somewhat uncomfortable, kind of implying my own interpretation here with the Rebbe is. But I think that this is what. I mean, I'm looking at my notes here that I wrote on the side. The last time I really learned the Sefer was, you know, 6 years ago. I can't believe what I wrote over here. You know, and if I look at some of my Svarim that I was writing notes in and jotting down things and Shirim that I said and ideas that I was sharing, you know, it was a different stage of life. It was almost a different Gilgal. Like I'm embarrassed of it. So, okay, we're growing, you know, kind of growing together. This is where it's at. This is what I have now. I know. It's hard for me to believe that the Rebbe's, you know, just slapping us in the face and saying, like, you know, meanwhile, none of the things that we're saying are real and they're not important, and that when a person has these moments where their heart's broken and we feel something and have this awakening, that awakening is not worth anything. Lesser usatava de isava, the Zohar says, that there's no good thought that goes, that's lost, that's halech li'ibud. No such thing. A person has even a momentary thought, a hirhur tshuva, a thought, even if it's coming from a place that's not totally selfless and not totally focused on Hashem, and that's not totally lishma, mitoch lishma balishma, that there's always something there, and that's never lost, and that's there for eternity. Every ratzon, we are defined by our ratzonos, Rav Nachman says. I am what I want to be. I am what I hope to be in my moments of yichida, in my moments of yearning, those moments my heart breaks, either whether it's from joy or it's from sadness, and I just want to be more. This week, how many levayas? Was that 3 levayas this week? And each one, you know, each one was a different type of tragedy for the Jewish people in some way. And each one, I had, you know, less and less of a personal connection. One was a real, was someone I felt very close to. And Michal Galim passed away this week, so I went to Levi. You know, it was connected to Michal. And all I'm thinking, and all we're thinking about, anybody who knew him was just thinking how I just want to be friendlier to people, and I just want to be more besimcha, and I want to be more samech b'chelki, and I want to bless people more, and see good in people, and be positive, and be filled with emunah, and be masamech other people, and honor other people. And I don't know, the next day already it was gone. Until I'm thinking about it now, like I haven't thought about it since then. My heart was broken. But how... The question here, I think, what the Rebbe is trying to direct this is, not that that moment is not important, not worth anything. Not that that hisorus and that heartbreak and that softening of our insides is not something which in and of itself is real and good. But is it as good as it can be or should be, or as good as we want it to be?
It's even stronger. I'm thinking of what he said after Chos Talmidim. I think in Sivulim and Azero, he talks about making a decision. Like if the decision is like strong enough, so even... You make a decision while you have like a service, and then a month later, you're not, even if your decision is strong enough, you'll still do whatever you wanted to do, even though you're not in the same, you know, service.
All right. So, how do we translate? No, those are questions, right? How do we translate this brokenness, this experience, this awakening, this feeling into kalim, into something real that's going to be lasting? Because to feel something like that, broken or sad or joyous or whatever, when our heart is open, it's real. It means that we're alive. It's something that's really happening. Whether it's pain or it's disappointment, it's sadness or it's something which is uplifting, that's a real thing. The question is, how do we, so to speak, tap into that moment, maximize that moment? There's a maysa about the Rebbe Rashab. Shalom Dov Ber Lubavitch. The Rebbe Rashab, it was 1892, he gave a gift to his son, the Rayatz, Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Schneerson, the Friedeker of the previous Rebbe. He gave him a mimer for his 12th birthday, or whenever he was 12, before his bar mitzvah. He gave him a mimer. And the mimer was called Ma'arabu Masecha. When he gave him the mimer, he said to his son, this is a Hasidic kiss. This is a Hasidic kiss. He said, I'll explain when you're older what that means. This mimer, Ma'arav Masach, is known as a chassidic kiss. Years later, the Rebbe Rashab explained, what did he mean by that? He said that when the Friedeker, when his son, Yosef Yitzchak, was a little boy, the Rebbe Rashab had 2 rooms in his house. There was 2-bedroom houses. One room was what they slept in, and the other room was his study. And he had an only son, Yosef Yitzchak, and his son, his cradle, his crib, his little bed was in the Rebbe's study. And one evening he was learning with his, the Rebbe Rashab was learning with his chavrusa, and while he was learning with his chavrusa, the chavrusa pointed out how beautiful the child was. He said, this child is shining, he has such reinkeit, he's such a radiance about him, there's something very unique and something very special about this kid. It must mean that he has a very high soul and that there's great things destined to come from him. The Rebbe Rashab was so moved by what his chavrusa said. He looked at this kid, and he said he picked up his son, and he wanted to kiss him. And at that moment, he had such mochen, he had such expansive consciousness. His heart was so open, he was so on fire, that he felt such an awakening and such a love. He thought about the gold and the silver that was used to bring Kvod Shamayim, to beautify the Beis HaMikdash. And he thought about all the physical substance in the world. He thought about all the material in the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts in this world to be marba kvod shamayim, to be, you know, elevated and to be revealed, that their true essence is for something to bring kvod Hashem. And he decided at that moment, he held back and he didn't kiss his son. He didn't kiss the baby. Instead, he sat down and channeled all of that excitement, all that hisorus, all that energy, all that openness into writing a mimer. And that mimer is called Ma'arabu Masecha. He gave that to his son years later and said, this was the kiss that I held back at that moment. These were the kochos, this was the hisorus, this was the awakening that came from that open moment. When Yosef got on his chariot and he went to go meet his father Yaakov Avinu, they hadn't seen each other in 22 years. That incredible connection, that from Avraham Avinu to Yitzchak Avinu to Yaakov Avinu to Yosef HaTzadik. And Yosef and Yaakov Avinu hadn't seen each other in 22 years. Imagine the yearning, the longing. We can't even imagine the longing and the yearning that the father and son had together, had for one another. When they finally greeted each other, when they finally saw each other after all that time, so the Pasuk says that Yosef went to Goshen to meet his father, Goshen, which means to come close. Vayera Elav, they saw each other. Vayipol al tzavarav, vayefk al tzavarav od. They saw each other, and they embraced, and they cried on each other's necks. They're crying, and Rashi tells us that they're crying over him, the tzavaro, as the Maral explains, is really always represents the Beis HaMikdash. It's that connector between mind and heart. Rashi says that Yosef fell on his neck, and Yosef hugged him, and Yosef kissed him. But Yaakov held back. And instead, at that moment, before, kissing and hugging his son and embracing him physically, what did Rashi say? What happened? He said that Yaakovina said Shema at that moment. And Talmidim the Baal Shem Tov explain that Yaakovina knew that in his lifetime he would never experience a greater moment of his Zoros, a greater moment of an open heart. He would never have such a Lev Nishbar, such openness, such a his Zoros for Kodesh Baruch Hu. And that moment of reunion between him and Yosef, after such pain and such loss and such hurt and such longing, such a well of emotion inside of him, he turned it over to Hashem.
He turned it over
to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that was that Maimer, Ma'arabu Masecha, that the Friedrich Rebbe was zochet to from his father, the Rashab, the Chassidish Kiss.
That's a hard thing.
Well, we're not talking about something easy. We're not talking about something. But when the heart is open, the question is, are we able to go in deeper? Not just to rely on this moment of reunion, or this moment of pain, or this moment of sadness, or this moment of hoping, or this moment of longing, or of disappointment, or shame, or embarrassment, or of simcha. A person has a simcha. A father and mother bring their child to chuppah. You see it, you go to a wedding, you see a husband and wife love each other, bring their child to chuppah, and it's just unbelievable, the hisorus, the excitement. I mean, I just know on a very, I mean, not a wedding, but a mitzvah Hashem one day, but a bas mitzvah. Our daughter, we made a bas mitzvah, having another bas mitzvah. Our daughter and daughter's bat mitzvah, and the bo bayom, we went out together with the family, and made a l'chaim together as a family. I couldn't stop crying. It was such a hisorus, such a thanking of Hashem, such a, but on the other hand, such a feeling of like, so many things I wanted to be in such a way, I wanted to do it and had such big intentions and such yearning to be able to do it further and to do it more. What the Rebbe is saying is, don't be somech on that. Don't be okay with that and say that's enough. Don't just think that's enough, that that's called tshuva. Those are hiruah tshuva. There's something important there. And Reb Nachman says that that ratzon is something very holy and something very important, that it lasts forever. But ve'ein ata batuach ba'od rega kasher as ta'avas chashuv tasig emot tischazek shviras libcha kevishona v'yashuv ha'evan l'stomas libcha shaya pasuach l'rega. Don't think that when that irua, when that moment is over, or when the boys come back from battle, that you're still going to feel, that you're still going to want, and you're still going to be open and be on fire, because the doors are going to close, the gates are going to close, and the ground will become hard again, and our hearts will go back. V'shuv yeh libcha lev evan. Our hearts will return back to their regular, standard, kind of, we now return to our previously scheduled, and then it will just go back to the way things were, the morning after. Arel v'atum mikol tzad, closed off and sealed from all sides. V'ata tisha'er mibachutz, and we'll remain outside. Meaning, when our hearts are open, Pischoli Shari Tzedek. Ask Hashem, open up the gates of righteousness. Avovam. Not just to open them up, not just that the gates should be open, but avovam, that I should be able to go into those gates. Odekos. I can really, really, really be connected to you and thank you and praise you. Meaning, not just that my heart, please, you know, Shalom would say, Chever, open up your hearts. It's not enough that our hearts should be open. We have to have courage to go inside. We have to go have courage to go deeper. Our hearts are open at moments of great joy and at moments of great pain. And we should always have simchas. But in moments of when we're hurt, when we're insulted, when we're driving, and God forbid it shouldn't happen, but we're about to merge, and we in our blind spot, there's a car racing by, and we almost get into an accident. There's like this, we're seized by a moment of terror, and that's, you know, or whether we make a gomel or not, there's something there, like, I don't want to be like this anymore. I want to change. I want to grow. I want to add something to my life. I want to deepen my life. I want to better my life. At that moment, our heart is open. What the Rebbe here is saying is don't just be complacent with that moment. It's not enough for our hearts to be open and to feel that and to think that something's going to change from there. But when our hearts are open, when our hearts are broken, to have the courage, and it takes courage because it's not easy. To go inside. To go inside. Not just pischuli, but avovam. Because it's going to happen. There's going to be the next day that, God willing, it'll come back. And I mean, it happened this week. My wife's old friend. I don't like to say too much. My wife's old friend. One of her closest friends. They found the growth. And she called my wife from the hospital. You know, and please daven and daven. And my wife was like so shaken up by it. This is one of her oldest, closest friends. And the next morning, we were in Kever Rachel. And we're talking about, that's it, we're getting back into the Shemiras HaLashon Yomi. And we're going to, like, what, you know, we have to turn the world over for her friend. We're going to turn the world over. And then 3 days later, I mean, really on edge. And then, thank God, called her and said it was benign and everything's fine, everything's okay. And Chazdei Hashem, Chazdei Hashem. I haven't thought about it since then. I haven't thought about it. And it doesn't mean that it wasn't real, that the Hisorus wasn't real. It doesn't mean that wasn't important and it wasn't good. It just means that that moment of awakening didn't get turned into a kli, into something which is, because it didn't go inside. My heart was open and it was broken. But I didn't go back in. And now I'm on the outside. Now I'm tisha'er b'chutz. Tishtokek l'takein ma b'libcha. I'll wake up the next day and say, I want to fix that. You know, I realize this thing is inside that I want to root out. Negative mido. So there's positive inside of me that I want to flame. There's an ember of good at some specific mido that I want to fan. And I want to make it bigger. And I want to make it larger. I want to make it grow. I want to grow that good. Mishtokek l'takein ma b'libcha. Aval oy vavoy nisharta mi bachutz. But I'm on the outside, I'm looking in. Oy, how painful it is to feel like we're on the outside of ourselves. To be watching ourselves from the outside, to see that I had a glimpse of something very powerful inside of me. A ratzon, a yearning, a desire to do something, to be something more. But now, oy, I'm on the outside looking in, remembering what it was like when I had that hisorus. I can't control it. I can't get back in there. I'm like standing outside, like as if I'm, and my face is up on the glass, looking inside at myself, at what I was and what I could have been. So the good news is that Rabbi Nachman really addresses this, and Rabbi Nosson fleshes it out, that there's hope, and that the most basic way, in the most obvious way, the most fundamental and simple, straight up way to translate this, you know, when we're inside of our cave, when we're spelunking inside of our hearts, when our hearts are open, when we're in there, to turn it over to Hashem kipshuto, by talking to Hashem, by making it real. Beino levein kono. It's not, his bodhidus is not admitting all the things that I've done wrong, and it's not begging God for all the things that I want to do, but it's just talking to Hashem. It's turning the focus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's when we're inside that broken place, inside of that tenuous place, that uncertain place, whether it's embarrassment, whether it's pain, whether it's because some girl said no, or because we felt some rejection, or because we feel like our backs are up against the wall, or we're having some tension in our life, in some relationship, professionally, personally, or God forbid, something that's making us scared. And our hearts are open. Our hearts are open, and our hearts are broken. At that moment that the Kotzker says, everything which is alav avecha is now going inside, because our heart opened up, boom, all the makifin are now becoming inside. At that moment, turn that aura into a kli, talk to Hashem. Bimit bodeid, to go up on the roof of my to go out of my porch, of my roof, and sit there and talk to Hashem. Turn it over to Kodesh Baruch Hu right away. Don't lose the moment. Because otherwise I'm going to turn around the next day, the next morning, and the edge is gone. And it's like, it's old news. And I missed the opportunity. But to turn it into a Hasidic kiss, to turn that moment into something that can last forever, that could be a lasting change in my life, to really build Kalim. The way that we build Kalim is through talking to Hashem. That's how we take a broken heart, a Lev Basar, and turn it into a Lev Chadash. That's what Yechezkel's talking about. And Asati Lechem Lev Chadash is, I'm going to give you a new heart. What's this new heart?
Lev Evan.
Because we had a Lev Evan. And the Lev Evan breaks. And it opens up. And the way we transform a Lev Evan to a Lev Basar, into becoming a Lev Chadash, so Rabbi Nosson said that Nachman Dafka wanted to be known as Breslovers. Wanted his Talmidim, Chassidim to be known as Breslovers. Breslovers is the Osios Lev Basar. Because to have a Lev Basar means somebody who's not somebody who's able to go inside. And the way that we turn our Lev Basar into a Lev Chadash and not get stuck again in that Lev Oven, stuck on the outside, trapped outside of my Lev Oven, is through Dibur. V'hasiroti Lev Oven Mipsarchi v'natati lechem Lev Basar is just by speaking. Dabru Alev Yushalayim Kiru Aleh, to call out, to speak, to talk to Hashem. To talk to Hashem. To just express pain and joy and happiness and just kacha. Beino levein kono. There's no other way. I've tried. I don't know if I've tried every way, but the only way is to turn it over to Hashem. Nachman says the primary eitzah is to turn it over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Dibur. Otherwise, we just end up mibachutz, outside of ourselves. We can go through life watching our life unfold. We can go through life as a spectator of our own inner world. The way that we become, the way that we live, the way we could feel what we're feeling, and turn our what we're feeling, our pain and our brokenness, our shame and our joy and our happiness and our excitement, and all of our etzonos into real kelim, is through Dibur. It's talking to Hashem Beino Levein Kono. But not to be mistapek, b'shiver and alev here is what he's saying. Don't. It's not enough to just feel broken. It's not enough to just feel, fresh. Much as Rav Nachman says that every krecht and every groan and every yearning is something which is bringing us closer to Mashiach, you know, nationally and personally, in order to turn that into something which we're able to see lasting change, it has to be with talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the real thing. So I don't know that I can, you know, write a Maimer Ma'arabu Masecha. I don't know that I'll be able to, you know, that my Shema Yisrael or my children is going to be on the level of Yaakov Avinu, but it's not what's expected of me. What's expected of me is to be able to build Kalim in the way that I can. To plow up my hardened heart and to not get stuck in self-deception by thinking that it's enough to just feel and enough to just hurt and enough to just want, but to be able to turn that Ratzon into something which I'll see lasting change. And only that, I think, is the Eitz of the Tzaddikim, is to go into our hearts, not to be afraid of all the hurt and all the pain and all the mistakes and all the brokenness that we'll find there. Like it describes the Tola'im and Tse'aseyem, Ashersham Kinenu, whatever negative midos and whatever filth we think has taken root there, to know that we have, you know, Lev Tahor Brali Elokim. And the deeper we go under the piles of cynicism and filth and negativity and self-loathing and deception, the deeper we're able to spelunk and dig, the more we'll find our neshama lokis, our that beautiful gem, which is our true selves. And once we get there, we'll be able to turn that into something which we're able to be aware of and conscious of constantly and consistently by expressing it. Hashem, I know you want me. I know that I'm your beloved son. I know that you love me. I know. Okay, I disappointed you. Maybe I fell short, but I know you want me. I know that you want me to take to, to, to know the good, to know the good that I do, to be aware of what I've done wrong also. But to open it up through Dibur Beinu Levein Kono, that's the only way. That's the only way that we'll be able to maintain an awareness of our true selves, and to be able to translate Shivron Lev, brokenness, into something which is focused on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and ultimately see true change in that way. So that we can have a Lev Chadash that will be filled with Simcha and filled with joy, and Hashem should help us that our Hesoros will come only through Simchas, and our brokenheartedness will only lead us to feeling good about ourselves. Mishnechnas Adar Marvin B'Simcha. Adar is a time of Alufa Shel Olam Dar. We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwells inside of us, that we are the dwelling space for Hashem, that we are the dwelling space for Hashem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is manifest through us. Asav HaKadosh Baruch Hu Dir B'Tachton, Hashem's fulfilled desire is to dwell within us and among us. It should be that our fulfilled desire is to be aware of that, to be conscious of that, and to believe in that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is wanting us all the time. Okay, we're good. All right, we'll continue.